Catholic commentary. You're returning a service. Spiritual warfare. AOM clear, see, no. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay, retired from the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. Welcome, Paul. I know you're on the other side of the country.
Yes, Jess. It's good to be here with you, always.
And you know what's good is that technology can connect us, so you can be in the West Coast, I can be in the East Coast, and thanks be to God for technology when it's used properly.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I just got a couple of things that I want to mention. First of all, I want to just say that... hope y'all had a blessed weekend. As Catholics, remember, our faith is in Jesus Christ. Don't lose your peace over what's happening right now. Because our peace doesn't come from politics. Our peace doesn't come from the economy. Our peace comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and holding on to his promises. That's what keeps us going. The promises of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Right, Paul?
Absolutely. The only thing that keeps us going.
You know, before we start the show, I just want to mention, there's a prayer that I'm sharing with a lot of people right now. I'm saying, you got to read the Serenity Prayer. It really has everything in there that somebody needs to apply to their life right now. Here's what the Serenity Prayer says, okay? It says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as the Lord did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next life. Amen. That says it all. That says it all. Paul, I want to just talk about something that's a pressing issue right now. All of us, everywhere we seem to go, they're forcing us to wear masks. And if Joe Biden wins, he says he's going to strap us down with masks for the next 4 years. There's a good little article here I want to share that I want to just get your comments on it. It says, medical doctor warns that bacterial pneumonias are on the rise from mask wearing.
Wow.
You got that article in front of you, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead and just share it. It's very short, then we'll just make some comments. Go ahead and read the first two or three paragraphs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. A group is suing Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum and Tulsa Health Department Executive Director Bruce Dart, saying that the city's mask mandate is harmful to healthy people. Now, skipping down, you know, at a press conference, another optometrist, Dr. Robert Zollner, said, the fear factor has got to step back. The idea that I don't want to give you something that I don't even know if I have it, is almost at the point of ridiculousness. He said, let's use a little common sense. Another doctor, James Meehan, he's an MD, he followed by warning, you know, again, cautioning that well-known risks, now check that out, Jess, well-known risks. So this isn't something speculative. These things are well-known that have been studied and they're not being discussed concerning the risk of wearing masks versus no masks. He says that he's seeing patients that are coming down with all kinds of things, but the most serious one coming down is bacterial pneumonia. And he said that's on the rise all around the world. And I have a little personal testimony to this. My wife, who suffers from lupus, she we got COVID-19 early on, and she was actually diagnosed with bacterial pneumonia.
Wow.
Now, yeah. And we just assumed, okay, well, this is just a complication from COVID-19. But what if she developed that because she was wearing a mask?
Well, that's what this doctor says that you just read. Facial rashes, fungal infections, bacterial infections, right. and bacterial pneumonia. It's funny. I'm going to, full disclosure, I haven't washed my mask since this thing started. And I realized, I said, dang, I got some dirty masks. So I threw them in the laundry this morning. How long have we been like this? 6 months? My masks have fallen down, I don't know how many times, on the street, the asphalt, out of my pocket. I cough into them. I'm picking things. And I mean, my mask probably, are the dirtiest things out there. So I threw them in the washer this morning. But I'd say most guys are like me. They just like grab it from their desk or from their glove box or from their back pocket. They're not washing it like every other day. And my wife was a retired nurse. She says, these masks are supposed to be one and done. Right. We use them in the hospitals, and we discard them right after that.
Yes. remember, Jess, when this whole thing first got started, they talked about, you had to follow exact proper protocol and how to apply the mask and how to.
And we're not. Nobody is.
Oh, right, and nobody's doing that. And so I have my own idea about why I think what's going on.
This is pure politics, Paul. This is pure politics. And what they're doing, this is phase one to indoctrinate us and train us and make us yield to entire government control, which we call the soft form of it, socialism, and the strong form of it, communism. This is the preparation for communism.
Yes. Yes. Listen to what Dr. Meehan adds.
Okay.
New research is showing that cloth masks may actually increase the aerosolization of COVID-2 virus. So it actually is compounding the problem of the virus.
And he also says there, Dr. Meehan, he says, in February and March, we were told not to wear masks. What changed? The science didn't change. The politics did. This is about compliance. It's not about science. Our opposition is using low-level, retrospective, observational studies that should not be the basis for making a medical decision of this nature. I'll tell you, Paul, I'll tell you what concerns me about all of this is that if the left takes power, all the levers of power in this country, we have no idea how far they're going to take this, but I just think this is phase one.
I think we do have an idea.
Well, go ahead and share it. But the point that I'm making is this, is I think that the left, this whole put a mask on your face, it's symbolic. We don't want you people of faith, you followers of Christ, we don't want to hear you talk. We don't want to hear what you have to say. So this is like stage one of what they'd like to do to cancel us completely. They don't want to hear from us.
Yeah, Paul, they don't want to hear. Yeah, going back to what you read about, the part about there should not be the observational studies that they're using to justify mask wearing should not be the basis for making a medical decision of this nature. Translation to that is real substantive studies that show that mask wearing is harmful. Show that mask wearing is harmful. So the idea that, that they've got us looped into this, I'm of a suspicious nature. And I always ask the question, why? Why would they be doing this? And if you guys have been out there shopping, you guys have seen you got your people walking around Walmart that are actually enforcing mask wearing. If they see somebody without their mask, they want to fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got the Karens and Kevins out there that are doing the work for the left.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Paul, you know what? I'll just be honest. I think this whole mask wearing thing and this washing, hand washing all the time and, social separation and these lockdowns, to me, this is the beginning of initiating us into a new global order, a new world order. This is what I would call a cult ritual transformation from the new world order, this reset, mask wearing, systematic hand washing, 6 feet apart from everybody, Can't go into the church. Lock everything down. This is, to me, ritualistic governmental preparation for a new global order. That's and I'm coming from a faith-based point of view, because this new global order will be under the Antichrist. Comments?
Yeah, Archbishop Vigano, he commented about that, and so we have to take what he says absolutely serious. You know, Jess, Patrick Coffin did a video, and he it was on this new reset that they're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he said a lot of good things in that video, and I recommend that people, if they want to educate themselves on this reset, that they look up that video.
He had a lot of experts there. He had a lot of world experts in there.
Yeah, and check this one out. This is connected to the World Economic Forum. And this group, the World Economic Forum, you know, they've been trying to get traction for a long time. But now that this COVID-19 has come into play, they're using that, you know, letting no good crisis go to waste. And they're going to take advantage of that. It's the idea. It's the same thing. Whenever people become afraid, and that's what they're peddling out there, right? Fear. When people become afraid, it's a lot easier for them to give up their rights.
Yeah, makes sense. Hear the music. Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paula Clay. Monday's show, we're talking about all things Catholic. We'll be moving on to another topic about how Lucifer became the devil.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Two-man car, Soul Patrol, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We're out there to teach people how to love God, save souls, and slay error. We're going to move on to another topic, because this is where it all starts from. This is the genesis, so to speak, of everything that's gone wrong in society. Disorder, mayhem, evil, sin, crime, death. It all starts from a person called the devil, Paul. And there's a very good article that I want to share from Philip Kozlowski. It's called Why Did Satan Rebel Against God? If you could share the first two paragraphs, and I'll do the last two.
Okay. Get up to it. One sec.
Okay. I'll share the first two. How's that? It says, Satan knew what he was doing, and yet he still rejected God and his plan. Catholics believe that the evil spirit known as Satan was a good angel, but openly disobeyed God. His disobedience was so great that he was cast out of heaven along with a large cohort of other angels. Why did Satan disobey? If he was so close to God, what made him rebel? First of all, the Bible and the Catechism affirms the following in paragraph 391 about the devil. It says, quote, "The church teaches that Satan was at first a good angel made by God," close quote. My comment on that is he was called Lucifer in the Old Testament, which means light bearer, or it means bright star, or it means bright being, or son of the morning dawn. The article says, quoting Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15, that initially Satan was good, but some traditions go so far as to give him the name Lucifer or light bearer when he was the bright angel of light. Paul, do you got Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15 there with you? I'll read it from my Bible if you don't.
Yeah, go ahead and read it.
Yeah, this is good intel, because a lot of people, there's a lot of verses in the Old Testament which teach us about it. It's basically the Bible's so rich that it has a historical meaning in many instances, and it has a spiritual meaning. Isaiah chapter 14 is one of those chapters where historically it's talking about the wicked king, the king, I think, of Tyre. So that's a historical basis for it. But look at what it says in verses 12 to 15. This is a spiritual interpretation, not only of a wicked king, but also of Lucifer. It says, quote, "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the depths of the pit." So there we see in Scripture, we see an allegory of, again, historically it's talking about a wicked king in the Old Testament. But spiritually, the spiritual exegesis of that passage, just like many other passages in the Bible, we see that it's also a reference to Satan. Paul, comments?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, the thing that jumps out at you when you read that is you see the pride in Lucifer. And that's that same pride that, when Cain, and jealousy, by the way, jealousy, envy, pride, all of that is present there. And it's that same jealousy, envy, and pride that caused Cain to kill his brother Abel. You're right. It talks about the king of Tyre, but in reality, it's giving you a parallel to Satan, because
right,
in a sense, he's acting like his father, Satan.
That's right. Yeah. And by the way, this is called in theology, this is called the polyvalent understanding of Scripture. What does that mean? It means that in one verse, the Scripture could have multiple senses of meaning, because the Scripture is so rich that in one verse, you could extract a historical, you could extract a moral, you could extract an eschatological, and you could extract a spiritual sense of Scripture. So this is a classic example of that. Paul, you want to continue with the article? It says, we know very little about Satan's activities before his fall. What we do know is that there was a great battle in heaven recorded in the book of Revelation, where it talks about in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, it says, quote, the huge dragon, the ancient serpent, who's called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, was thrown down, and its angels were thrown down with it. Here's a few things that I would mention right there. Number one, how does the devil operate? In deception. What do we see right now in this political atmosphere? Absolute deception coming from the Democrat Party. That's a tactic of Satan. And by the way, the Catechism says that Satan uses politics to advance his deception. What else do we see in this verse? The devil's called the ancient serpent. The Hebrew word for ancient serpent is Nahash. Nahash actually means in Hebrew, it means a giant dragon serpent. That's what Nahash means. And where was Satan thrown down to and all the fallen angels? It says it right there. Not to the moon, not to Venus, not to Pluto, to planet Earth. They are here. You don't believe me? Just turn on the news if you don't believe they're here on planet Earth. Paul, comments?
Yeah. Woe to the earth. The scripture clearly, sacred scripture tells us that the whole earth is under the power of the evil one. And again, this is what we see right now. And listen, for everybody out there listening, we have to remember a couple of things. If we look at things purely in the natural sense, you might not notice anything too nefarious there. But if you put on your spiritual eyes and you look at things, from a spiritual standpoint of view, what does the scripture say? That these things need to be spiritually discerned. They need to be spiritually understood. And like you said, Jess, Satan's main mode of operation is deception. When you look at what occurred in this election and you see the way in it was Michigan where they, shielded the windows, blocked them off. You know why? They didn't want to expose what they were doing, right? They were hiding. Darkness fears the light for fear that it will be exposed. If you've got nothing to hide, there was no reason to do that. Tell me, what justification was there to close off those windows?
Other that deception was occurring inside that building.
The deception, yes.
That's right. Yeah, the article says, Jesus himself also confirms in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, in case you're wondering where Lucifer's at, it says, quote, I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky, close quote. So you want to pick it up from there, Paul?
Yeah, and he also, took a third of the stars of heaven with him, and those are known as demons, and that's exactly what we're being subjected to now. Men, it's just not the evilness of man, but it's compounded by the influence of demons. And so when you have man's sinful nature compounded with the influence of demons, what you have is a synergistic effect, which is on a scale that the only way that we can combat this, Jess, is through using spiritual warfare, spiritual weapons. In the natural, there's no way we can defeat this.
Yeah, and St. Paul even talks about that the weapons that we, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that the weapons that we're supposed to be using are spiritual. On a natural level, it's impossible to fight this. The article says this, the battle appears to have occurred before the creation of Adam and Eve, as Satan is already present in the garden in his fallen state. These facts so far are all that we can know with certainty. The exact reason of Satan's fall is unknown to us, though theologians have presented some possibilities. The Catholic Encyclopedia summarizes a few of the most popular positions. It says, quote, the sin which by many of the best authorities is regarded as being actually the great offense of Lucifer, to wit, the desire of independence of God and equality with God. Although St. Thomas regards the desire of equality with God as something impossible, he teaches nevertheless that Satan sinned by desiring to be as God. Many theologians have conjectured with some show of probability that the mystery of the divine incarnation was revealed to all the angels, that they saw that a lower nature than their own was to be united to the person of God the Son, Jesus Christ, and that all the hierarchy of heaven must bow in adoration before the majesty of the incarnate Word. And this, it is supposed, was the occasion of the pride of Lucifer. In this last view, Satan was prideful and thought that the incarnation of Jesus was an abomination. He then sought independence and rebelled against this divine plan, desiring to be as God. And the fathers of the church said that Lucifer screamed from that assembly. He says, non serviam, which means I will not serve. In other words, the scandal of the incarnation, that God, who's supernatural, would take upon the form of the natural, and angels and demons are above the natural. They're preternatural. They're above humans. They're of a higher species than humans. So this scandalized this proud seraphic angel, Lucifer, to say, wait a minute, God is going to become a man, and then he wants me to worship him? No, I can't do that, because, again, demons know the order of the cosmos. God is above all else. There's nothing like God, nobody like God. Then underneath God, you got angels and demons who are preternatural. Then below angels and demons, you have humans who are natural. And so the incarnation, this was a stumbling block for Lucifer. And this is why, as Catholics, at Mass during the Apostles' Creed, when you say the Angelus, every time we say, and the Word became flesh, you'll look at every Catholic prayer book, it'll say, bow your head or genuflect. Because for us, the incarnation is the mystery of our faith that we can't even wrap our minds around. But this is something that Satan rejected wholesale. Paul?
Yeah. Listen, Jess, I want to key in on what you said, this desire of Lucifer to have independence of God and equality with God. This is goes back to the original lie back in the garden. Satan told Eve, you know, oh, you will not die. God knows that if you, you know, eat of that fruit, you will be like him. And it's in essence, equality with God. And what you see going on right now in the world is, and proof that Satan is in control, you know, on a different level, is that's exactly what you see going on. You know, people want the kingdom without the king. And this promise that, you know, this socialism that's giving birth to worldwide communism, and that's essentially what they want to bring us into, is worldwide communism. You know, there's no room for God. As you know, communism is atheistic.
Jesus 911 will pick up on this conversation on the next segment. We'll keep talking about the fall of Satan. And we're also going to talk about Mexico's devotion to Our Lady enrages the devil. Jesus 911. Stay strong. We'll be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Music.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, that means Lord, come to our assistance. That's what that means. Lord, come to our... It's an old Catholic prayer. Come to our assistance. Hey, I just want to remind you that we're all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. And I don't care if you're 5 years old or 105 years old, God placed you right now where you're at from all eternity, and he chose you to be where you're at this time. Why? To change the world. So if you're breathing and you got two legs, you're called to evangelize and you're called to holiness. I'm here with my partner, Paul Clay, two-man car, Jesus 911, and we're talking about wrapping up this article called Why Did Satan Rebel Against God? The last two sentences, it says the following. It's quoting the catechism. It says, whatever the exact nature of Satan's sin, his choice was irrevocable. It means he can't change his mind. One and done. As the catechism explains, it says this, quote, it is the irrevocable character of their choice, fallen angels, and not a defect in the infinite divine mercy that makes the angel's sin unforgivable. There is no repentance for the angels after their fall, just as there is no repentance for men after death. Paragraph 393 of the Catechism. You got a comment, Paul?
Yeah. Listen, when you exercise your free will and you freely choose to reject God and you end up dying in that state, quite obviously, there is no second chance for all those people who, you know, think that, oh, God's a merciful God, and one day, you know, hell might not be for eternity. Hey, you better think again, because it is. The angels, from the beginning, were not allowed to change their mind. And man, once he is, you know, moved on and transitioned from this bodily state, once he's into eternity, that's it. His fate is sealed. You're either going to be in friendship with God or not when you die.
And that's why Hebrews 9:27 says, for it is appointed for a man to die once, and then the judgment. And the judgment that it's speaking about there is called the particular judgment. The article says that the fallen angels had full knowledge, full and complete knowledge of their choice, understanding with clarity that it would lead them to eternal separation from God. The good news is that while on earth, we still have a chance to change our lives and make good choices, not making the same mistake as Satan. And by the way, as we move on to the next article, this is why the demons hate us so much, is because they say, well, we only had one chance and we're one and done and our decision is irrevocable. But those human schleps, I mean, these human beings, they look at us like maggots or flies. I mean, because we're far inferior than to the angels and demons as a species. I mean, we get hungry, we have to go to sleep, we have to take a shower, you know, we get old, we get sick. Angels, they're just like perfect machines that don't get tired, don't get sleepy, they don't need food, they don't need water, they don't need rest, they don't need a day off. They're like perfect serial hunter predators. So they look at us with contempt, and they look at us and saying, why does God give them a chance to repent over and over and over again? I'll tell you why. And that article says why, because it says that God gave them full and complete knowledge of their choice and understanding with clarity. So the angels knew God, the fathers of the church say that God showed the angels salvation history in stages and rolled things out for them. Adam, Abraham, Noah, David, Moses, our Lord Jesus Christ, the end of the world. He showed it to them in stages, and they still took their chance to follow Lucifer, that he would basically usurp the kingdom of God in some way, shape, or form, kind of like Biden's trying to do. and that they would you know, be under this this new leader, and that's why their decision, because much more was revealed to them than was revealed to us. Hardly anything's revealed to us, Plan. That's why St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, we live by faith, not by sight. The angels, they actually live by sight. God showed them the future, and a third of them rebelled against God's plan of salvation.
Yeah. To whom much is given, much is required, right?
Well, that's it. That says it all.
Yeah. The angels had this perfect knowledge, and so much more was required from them. It's kind of funny. You know, I laughed at your reference to Joe Biden, but the reality is if you really think about it, and you really think about how they sinned, and they wanted to be something other than what God had created them to be, Jess, this is what you see today going on with mankind. You know, we want to be LGBTQ, something other than male and female, which is what God created us to be. And so now you see this world system moving into this system of worldwide communism, which basically says, hey, we're all equal. We're all in it together. And I hate to say it, but our Holy Father, the Pope, just wrote an encyclical that basically said, hey, we're all brothers. You know, there is no, I mean, in the general sense, yes, we're brothers. But, you know, make no mistake about it. You know, if God is not their father, then they are not our brothers. Amen.
Right. That's always been the teaching of the church, what you just said there. I mean, in some very loose form, we could say, oh, well, you know, we're all brothers because we're all part of the human race. We're all brothers insofar as we come from Adam and Eve. We're brothers in Adam and Eve, but that's on a natural level. You could only be a supernatural brother through baptism, through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you could be a supernatural brother. And so, again, what was asserted by Pope Francis, he should have made clarification and said there's a distinction between the natural brotherhood of man based on Adam, the first man, and Eve, the first woman, and the supernatural brotherhood, which only comes through baptism by being incorporated into the body of Christ. That distinction should have been made, and I was told that it was not made in the encyclical.
Yeah. Listen. The scripture clearly says we have all things in common in Christ, Jess, in Christ. That means if we're outside of Christ, then, you know, the opposite of that is true. If we're outside of Christ, we have nothing in common. And this is what man's attempt to try to say, hey, we're all brothers in this together and we have no commonalities. You know, are we going to sit there and let this worldwide governance that they want to bring us into, which is going to totally, trump the Constitution of the United States and limit our rights as individuals? Are we going to let these people who don't even believe in God dictate, how we should think, dictate our morality?
Absolutely not, because that would be a compromise of everything we've believed as Catholic Christians for the last 2,000 years. As Catholics, just so people are clear, the goal of Catholic life was written by Pope Pius X back in 1925. It's called the Social Kingship of Christ, which means this. Pope Pius X, St. Pius X, should I say, probably the greatest pope in the 20th century, he says that the goal of the Catholic Church is to make Christ King and Lord of every human heart and every nation.
Amen.
That's Catholic teaching. Anybody who teaches apart from that is betraying Catholic teaching. I'll repeat it again. St. Pius X said, Catholic teaching forevermore is this, that we as Catholics must bring the lordship and kingship of Christ into the heart of every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. And we must bring Christ as Lord and King into the heart of every nation. Anything other than that, masonry, communism, forget about it. It's a compromise that we're not going to make a deal with the devil.
It's more than we're not going to make a deal with the devil. This compromise is just complete ridiculousness. You hear people, you know, actually talking, Jess, that, hey, somehow we should all just coexist together, that there's not even a need anymore for conversion to the church, as you just quoted. That's not the historic Catholic faith. That's not what 2,000 years of church teaching has brought us. That's what the modernists have injected into the Catholic Church, and this idea that we're all just going to sing Kumbaya together, Pachamama and the like, you know, is completely satanic. It is completely modernist, and it is completely a product of the infiltration of Freemasonry.
That's right. You nailed it. You must have read Taylor Marshall's book, Infiltration, and some others. That's, you're spot on. And the fact is, modernism is a cancer inside the body of Christ right now. I want to move on, Ruben, Paul, and talk about something else just south of the border from here. It's called Pope Francis, I guess, said Mexico's devotion to Mary enrages the devil. This article is a few years old. It's 3 years old, but I think it's again, I think it's still relevant. It's 3 years is not that long. It says the recent earthquakes in Mexico have some of Pope Francis's comments going viral. So in a video interview from January back in 2017, Pope Francis explained how he feels Mexico's devotion to the Virgin of Guadalupe is the reason they're hit with so many catastrophes. He said the following, quote, "I think that the devil punishes Mexico with much anger because the devil doesn't forgive Mexico that she, the Virgin of Guadalupe, has shown her son there," he says, close quote. And it talks about that Mexico was struck back in 2017 with two major earthquakes in 2 weeks, 8.1 quake that killed 61 people, another one, a 7.1 magnitude that killed over 300. And they were hit on September 19th, the anniversary of the 1985 Mexico City quake, which killed thousands, and the anniversary of Hurricane Hilda, also in Tampico in 1955, that killed 200. So Pope Francis basically said, "It is an interpretation of mine that Mexico is privileged in martyrdom for having recognized, defended its mother." But that was a comment made by Pope Francis. But some of the nearly 9,000 comments agree with Pope Francis, but others disagree, citing that it is actually the turning away from God that is the cause of the disasters. And here's, I think, the cash value. It says the turning away from God is evidenced by the legalization of abortion in Mexico in 2007, the massive number of murders of civilians and clergy, and the widespread acceptance and public veneration of Santa Muerte, which is nothing but Satan itself. We'll talk about that next. The cult of Santa Muerte. We'll be right back. Jesus 911.
Logan, what has Virgin Most Powerful Radio done for you?
Well, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, I gotta say, I've been a listener for about a year now, and it's really helped me grow closer to my faith and the fact that I'm listening and I'm getting unsugar-coated, clear, charity with clarity Catholicism. And it's really helped me even, you know, grow so much deeper in my faith as a young man and discern the priesthood and have a love for Jesus Christ. And this is so seen on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful, the unsugar-coated, clear truth of our Catholic faith that is so lacking today. It's almost like the Terry and Jesse Show. It's the orange juice Catholicism. It's filling things up. I just need to give them a shout-out, my praise. I'm just so appreciative. It's just really helped me, and I know now people want to hear this. It inspires me to want to speak it, and it inspires me to even go as far as discerning the priesthood, to think I should speak this. We need to stand up for our beautiful faith. This is the unsugar-coated beauty, and this is just what I've seen on the Terry and Jesse Show. I encourage so many listeners to start donating and support this cause. It has just truly really impacted my life, and all I just want to give is some praise to it.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have only done our duty." According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We're talking about this article that says Mexico's devotion to Mary enrages the devil. There's been a lot of natural disasters there. Paul, you got some comments. I read half of the article. What does Paul Clay say?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned in the article that the Pope, you know, in his opinion, he referred to it as martyrdom, the people that died in the earthquake. Hey, you know, Jess, as far as my knowledge of the scriptures, you know, which is just my opinion, but you never see where Satan has power over nature. Satan doesn't cause earthquakes. In fact, the Old Testament says, God says, I'm the God who causes calamity. Your insurance policy, when something happens and it's, you know, they call it acts of God, right? God is the one. When Jesus calmed the sea, he said, be still, and it was still. So Satan, you know, if God allows calamity to occur, it's usually as a result of some form of judgment that God is allowing on people. And that's far from martyrdom at that point.
Paul, and what you're saying is I've read the commentaries from St. Augustine on this and St. Thomas Aquinas, and they talk about Romans chapter 8, where it says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Yeah. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. The fathers of the church say that the planet Earth is going through labor pains as a result of original sin and actual sin. And the labor pains will cease at the second coming of Christ, when Earth will be reconstituted a new heaven and a new earth, something I can't even wrap around my mind, but that's what the scripture says and I believe it. And so until then, the labor pains are natural disasters, are earthquakes, are tsunamis, are storms, are thunders. But you're right, Paul. In my read of scripture, the diabolical doesn't control that. God controls nature. And in fact, like you even said, our insurance policies actually say about natural disasters, an act of God, not an act of Satan. Yep. Right. Good observation.
Yeah, well, it's okay. Just an opinion. Again, you know, we're all entitled to opinions based on what the scripture says, but we just have to understand God is the one who's in control here. Satan isn't, you know, gone. And in fact, the only power that Satan exercises in your life is when you give him permission do so.
That's right. Even exorcists will say that. They'll oh, Father, I'm possessed. The priest will say, it's because you gave him permission. No, I didn't. Were you paying the Ouija board? Yeah. Have you been to Mass in 10 years? No. Do you live in a state of mortal sin? Yes. Okay, you gave him permission.
Right.
Yeah. Paul, pick it up right there in the article where it says in 2013, the Vatican, did you see where that's at?
Okay, where are we?
Or want me to pick it up? I'll pick it up, then you could. In 2013, it says the Vatican condemns Santa Muerte, holy death, as blasphemous and a degeneration of religion. By the way, Santa Muerte is, the Mexican bishops have said that's Satan himself, okay? Santa Muerte is translated Saint Death in the English. Saint Death, the Mexican bishops unanimously have said this is Satan himself. It's good to see here. There's a 2013 condemnation of Santa Muerte from the Vatican. It says even with the condemnation, Catholics, and I would just insert low information Catholics, still venerate the skeleton saint to lead them to the afterlife.
Wow.
Are you there, Paul? You see it?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, pick it up. Pick it up then.
Oh, you want me to keep reading or you want me to comment?
No, go ahead and pick it up and comment. Yeah.
Okay. Well, my comment on that, Jess, on that part that you just read was, listen, mankind was created for worship, right? God created us on the sixth day, and he created the Sabbath for man, which entailed worship, right? Man was created to worship. And when you basically have rejected God, yet, you know, man still has an instinctive nature to worship. So these cartels who are doing everything wrong feel this need, this basic need to worship. So then they turn and worship Santa Muerte, the saint of death, which is, like you said, the Mexican bishop said, this is Satan himself. That's my comment on that. What do you think?
Yeah. That's an old Catholic classical teaching that we're all homo religiosio, which means we're all religious or spiritual beings, and we have an inherent desire to connect with something otherworldly. It's built into our DNA, our spiritual DNA. Yeah.
Yeah. We know there's something beyond.
That's right. It says here, drug cartels invoke the intercession of Santa Muerte to protect shipments of drugs from law enforcement. Ritual killings involving the cult are increasing, and police are reporting that many times they find elaborate shrines to the Santa Muerte during drug raids. By the way, a lot of my friends in law enforcement say it's all over Southern California and California in general. And even out here in Phoenix, my son's telling me that they find a lot of Santa Muerte shrines here also as well. It says Cardinal Juan Sandoval Iniguez, Archbishop Emeritus of Guadalajara, and the Spanish exorcist Father Jose Antonio Fortea, and a group of priests gathered in the cathedral to perform an exorcism magno, or a great exorcism, over the city. Cardinal Iniguez, and that's a good sign, by the way. That's happening more and more around the country. That's the bishops pushing back, and I'm glad to see that. Basically unloading 50 caliber machine guns into the cosmos. That's what they're doing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so this bishop is using his weapons, which are prayer and, exorcisms, in order to affect the real world. And this is absolutely necessary.
That's what I call that's what they call in the Air Force an airstrike.
Yeah.
You just...
I got another thought, Jess, on Santa Muerte.
Yep.
You know, and I don't want to be too naive in thinking that some of these people involved in the cartel and so forth, they understand that they are worshiping Satan. You know, many of them totally get it, because why? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, they're hoping that, you know, that they can, pray to Satan, understanding that what they're doing is diabolical, but that somehow they understand that he is the god of this world, so to speak, and that they're trying to invoke his power in order to accomplish whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish.
And by the way, if you don't think he's the god of this world, that's exactly what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. That's lifted right out of scripture. The devil is the god, lowercase g, of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And I'll tell you what attracts a lot of the low information. And this is why, Paul, evangelization is the most important thing that we are called to at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. And it hasn't changed today, is because if somebody doesn't encounter the Lord Jesus Christ and encounter his gospel and his church, and now properly form his moral conscience based on the precepts of the gospel, they're going to be running, they're going to be tossed in every direction by any wind of doctrine to and fro. And that's what's happening here with uncatechized low information Catholics. They want to connect with the otherworldly because they are religious beings, spiritual beings. And the fact is that since their moral conscience is not properly formed, their allegiance or their pursuit of the otherworldly is disordered. Comment?
Absolutely disordered, and absolutely they make themselves vulnerable to the actual influence of Satan. Now, in that article, I just want to skip down. You know, there's a point in which, I guess, during an exorcism, the demons reply, "You are stupid because she, the Virgin Mary, rushed us from Mexico, and now, with your stupid laws, have allowed the sacrifices to return to Mexico. The human sacrifices, we do not want to say this, but she stomps our heads and forces us." Listen, and I think just since then, they have outlawed abortion in Mexico. Am I right on that?
I'd have to look at it after the show. I'll look. I'm not sure.
Yeah, since this is an old article, but it just goes to show you that they looked at it. This demon-possessed person declared that this was human sacrifice, a form of human sacrifice. So don't let anybody get it twisted. When abortion is the law of the land, God has, he will judge. And, and this is why we have to do everything in our power to reverse abortion being the law of the land in this country.
That's right. This article is describing a possessed young man. And the journalist Robert Farrell says that, during one of the exorcisms, again, the demons are forced to speak by the exorcist who commands the demons to speak. And that's exactly what the demon said. The demon said, again, "You are stupid. She, the Virgin Mary, rushed us from Mexico." Well, when does she rush them out of Mexico? In 1531. Our Lady of Guadalupe stamped out the pagan Aztec religion that was worshiping demon gods, animal sacrifices, virgin sacrifice. And guess what? It's returned. Even in this possession, the demon said that she rushed us from Mexico, and now with your stupid laws have allowed sacrifices to return to Mexico, the human sacrifices. So the demon said in an exorcism to a priest that the Mexican abortion laws have now basically returned the human sacrifices that were stamped out by Our Lady of Guadalupe back in 1531. And again, the demon even said during this statement that they were forced to say this by Our Lady. And that's what happens in a lot of exorcisms. The demons are forced to speak by Our Lady to the exorcist as he interrogates them. But that says a mouthful, Paul, because it tells us that according to the demons, they look at exorcism, they look at abortion as a cult sacrifice to the devil.
Yes. And
right?
Yes. Yes. Listen. And the other thing is how is it that, you mentioned before, Jess, we were talking about virgins. And how do virgins come into play with this? You tell the audience.
Demons hate virgins because, again, a virgin reminds them, number one, of purity, of eschatology. We're all going to be virgins in heaven. And the perfect human being is a virgin called the Blessed Virgin Mary. So purity and holiness is something that demons have an aversion to. Paul, great show. That's a wrap. Jesus 911. Thanks a lot, Paul. We'll see you next week. And I hope and pray Godspeed for your mom and dad. I hope they get better. Say a Hail Mary for Paul, Clay, and his parents, his mom and dad. He's visiting him over there in the East Coast. And signing off, we're 10-7. We're out of service. 10-7, we're out. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. Stay tuned to the Midwest Command Center. And if you like what you hear, then like us. Hit the subscribe button. Let other people know about the show. And you can hit the bell so you can be notified and share the show with others. We're out.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.